Coppell's Western Cape Radio, CWCP, broadcasting from Worcester, South Africa.
Welcome to the Worcester Report, a program of stories, Christian devotions, and music. Broadcast on CWCP, Coppell's Western Cape Radio.
South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God.
Welcome to The Worcester Report. This is Tony Coppell. This program is going to be a different format from our previous programs because there's just one subject. The children's ministry, My Father's House, founded by Jan Buchanan, and one aspect of its activities. Nearly a year and a half ago, we started mentoring clubs in Avian Park where teenage teachers were leading Bible studies for children using materials from the Mailbox Club. In that time, we've become quite knowledgeable about how to do this, how to make it work, and how to bring children to Christ. Since we're leaving the country in 5 weeks, we really felt we should pass on that knowledge. And so we organized a training session called the Mailbox Club Training. And we invited a number of stakeholders. But so that this could be available to many more people, and not necessarily just here in Worcester, I took the microphone and recorded the whole thing. Today, I'm going to play that complete training. It runs for about an hour and 37 minutes, and it's broken up into the individual talks by about six different people. So we hope that in weeks, months, and maybe years to come, this can be used by people who would like to use this wonderful Mailbox Club in a similar way. The training took place on the 6th of February in Jan Buchanan's house. The speakers in order were Jan Buchanan, introducing the day, Herod Stradom, who is the Worcester representative for the Mailbox Club, giving the philosophy and the biblical basis for everything that the Mailbox Club does. Then I gave the first of two talks. This one was mainly the history of how we'd come to where we are now. Next, Marco Reuters, who is essentially going to be taking over my position as a mentor of Mailbox Clubs, spoke about his belief in the validity of this material because he had actually been using the same materials a couple of years ago, but with much larger groups. And now we are using it with much smaller groups, which works a whole lot better. Then Lorianne spoke on the ministry that we've been giving to our teen leaders once a week here in our house, usually, because you can't expect them to continue giving out these ministry truths without being filled with ministry truths, and that's what we've attempted to do here. And then I returned to the microphone, firstly to interview one of the Mailbox Club leaders who was with us, Bella, and looked at the way ahead and other tips and ideas for anyone considering following in our footsteps. So let's get started with the Mailbox Club training in Worcester on the 6th of February, 2020.
Welcome to my house. It's lovely to have you all here. I'm so pleased that the girls were able to come because you have experienced this a number of times and you're teaching it yourself. We had a training a couple of years ago, was it 2 years ago, with a number of people, and then Marco and his wife Renz really carried it out. But at that time we were doing it in quite a different way, in that we had a group of, 35 to 40, sometimes even up to 50 teenagers, people from age about 10 up, in a building in Avian Park, and it was quite hectic keeping control of that and making sure that everybody was understanding and so on. But I know at the time it had a tremendous impact on people, even the girls, especially the girls, didn't it? Right? And, you know, the Holy Spirit really spoke to people a lot at that time. But it's really exciting now that it's being done in a completely different way, and we are training up the teenagers to do it now, and to run the Bible studies with other people. So I'm just so blessed that you're all able to come along, and I just trust that this will be multiplied. We'd love to see it multiplied many, many times into many areas around around Worcester. Do you mind if I just open in prayer, please? Heavenly Father, we just welcome you here. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here with us and that you love us so much. You love Avian Park. You love the farm children in Brownbuck. You love all the people of Worcester, Lord, and it's not your will that anyone will perish, but you want everyone to be saved. And Father, we just thank you for every person who's come here this afternoon. I just ask that you will move among us, that you will speak to us. Just show us what you want us to do and how this can be used for your glory. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good afternoon. My name is Gerard, and I have been called to ministry to children and families for 20 years. And I'd like to, I brought an Afrikaans Bible. I'm not quite sure if I can just lay hands on an English one quickly, since it might make more sense to you. You'll probably get some knowledge today, some information on what the Mailbox Club is about. And it's all neatly set out, and lots will be explained. But there's one thing that nobody can give you, and that is their heart for children. Unless you have a heart for children, unless you want to have them, see them saved, see them in a responsible, discipled relationship with Christ, then this will just be noise to you. So I can't give you my heart for children. You need to have that. And I think seeing you around the table and taking the time to be here, I'm sure that God has planted that seed in your heart, because you sense that this is something that you want to invest your time and energy in, is to see children come to a loving relationship with Jesus Christ. And so the Mailbox Club was founded around a couple that had this. They just had a love for children, and they wanted them to have an encounter with the Word of God, because that would change their lives. So they presented lessons, Bible lessons, to children in schools in America, and children came to Christ. But the way they did it was they presented them with a booklet that they read and completed, and that was then sent back to them or to someone that dealt with it. And they sensed a need for follow-up and equipping more people to impart the discipleship literature with children. So that's where you all come in. They are more than 90 countries in the world, more than 2 million booklets or material is distributed, printed and distributed annually. And you are part of a much bigger picture when it comes to evangelizing and discipling children. It's always important to remember why we do what we do, because that comes to the core of who you are. If someone tells you to pick up a piece of paper, you're being obedient to the instruction. Often God gives us instruction, direct order to do something. But what I'm referring to is your view of your relationship with God. If that is, if you have the love of Jesus in you, that defines every decision you make. Because The whole of Scripture, in a nutshell, is love. So if you love God, then you will obey Him, serve Him only, have no other before Him. Then when you speak His name, you will do so with respect. And if I love you, then I will honor you in the way I speak to you. And I will not refer to you in a derogatory fashion. And I will not steal what belongs to you. And I will not covet what is yours. And I will speak the truth because I love you. So when God speaks about children, I'd just like to take you quickly to First Psalms 78. Is something that imparts a bit of God's heart about children, God's kindness to rebellious Israel. So he speaks and he says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law, and incline your ears to the words of my mouth. And I will open my mouth in a parable, and I will under dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us." Now listen to this. Where did they hear this? Their fathers have told us. And we will not hide them from their children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He has done. For He established the testimony in Jacob, so Jacob, and appointed the law in Israel, which was His son. The same person, obviously, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, and the generation to come might know them, and the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children, and they that may set their hope on God, and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. So this is a direct order from God. It is a pattern that He establishes in His word that we should impart this to a generation. And that generation is then, if they make it their own, then they will again impart it to the next generation. And thus God will receive glory as He did through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He will receive glory in this generation and the next and the next. And so what is the vision of the Mailbox Club is to see as many children as possible come into a loving relationship with Christ so that God may receive the honor of that relationship and that out of that relationship it will multiply into more as you are equipped to by receiving the message through the Mailbox Club. You then again can impart it to another and that person can take ownership of his relationship with Christ and impart it to another. And even as they grow up, then impart it to the next generation, which will impart it to the next. Which is the purpose why God gives us children. It's for us to raise them as a generation that knows Him, knows His love, knows Him in person, and then thus can impart it to the next generation. And Deuteronomy speaks about the same. Deuteronomy 4, 6, 9, 31, about when we when should we impart this to our children? We must talk to them when we rise and when we sit down and when we go and when we come in. It's not the time of the day that we shouldn't be imparting this love of God to children, the Word of God to children, because this is what changes lives. So when the Mailbox Club puts together material, their lessons, it is all Bible-centered. So that when children read it, wrestle with it, they will encounter the living God because the truth is in there and the truth will set them free. So in the lessons, after a bit, the children will also be challenged to make a choice. So will you choose to love Him? Will you choose to honor Him with all your heart? And so it's important for the founders, and that philosophy has just continued because it is scriptural that we challenge people to have a look at Jesus Christ, the person, to God the loving Father and the indwelling Holy Spirit and make a decision. Will you choose to know Him and love Him with all your heart? And so the even though the material is translated into many languages, they stay Bible-based, Scripture-based. The truth needs to reach the children. And so Matthew 18 gives us a warning for us that that might have a warped perspective on children. And the Mailbox Club honors this encouragement and warning. Surely I say unto you, lest you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And you recall the story where they are, the question is asked, so who's the most important in the kingdom of heaven? So in that discussion, Jesus pulls a child close. It's paidion. The Greek word is for a small child. It's not a young adult. He pulls to him a child, and he uses this a child as his object lesson. He said, "This is what I'm talking about." And he says, "Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me." And I want to encourage you to not think of a ministry towards children as a lesser ministry. So what do? I do the praise and worship. And what do you do? No, I only work with children. You do not only work with children. You are busy with the very epicenter of the Father God's heart when you minister to children. It is an honored position. It is a lofty position. You are God's substitute presence in that moment, because He is in you and He feels this way about children. But whomever causes one of these little ones, and therein lies the warning, who believes in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world because of offenses. For offenses must come, but woe to the man by whom the offenses come. If your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. It's better for you to enter into life lame or maimed rather than having two hands or feet to be cast into the everlasting fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into the hellfire. Now this is it. Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven the angels are, their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. What do you think if a man has 100 sheep and he talks about even children being in a position where they are lost, and you come into a position as someone that imparts the truth, that they can realize that they are indeed lost, because some people are lost and they don't even know that they are. And then God in His love can use you, can even use you as children to be the one that goes out and seeks and finds the ones that are. Because you in your community will know that there are many that lead children astray. I saw someone in my office this morning, young boy, 14, has been arrested for stabbing another boy at school. And the challenges that children face nowadays are serious and real. But woe unto them who cause these little ones to walk astray. And it is you that can call and bind up and gather through the grace of Christ. Let them have a connection with Him so that they can belong, that they know that they are part of His flock. And if He should find it, because not all will be found, if He should find it, surely I say to you, He rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray. Even so, it is not the will of the Father, and that is the word that you prayed over us. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Jesus is addressing a crowd, and he's literally, I can envision him saying that one of these little ones, it's not the heart of the Father, that one of these little ones, the child has been standing there all along. And so everybody there got a sense of what the Father's heart is for children. The ability of a child to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ is real. By the grace of God, I've been blessed with three children. Shanae gave her heart to God when she was 5. Michaela did it much quicker because she has a quick-tempered personality. She got it done quickly. 4. And Christian was just 4. He was 4 as well. Maybe 5. And the same Holy Spirit that regenerates the 4-year-old, the 5-year-old, the 6-year-old, the 11-year-old, that same Holy Spirit regenerates the 80-year-old on his deathbed, the 90-year-old, the 100-year-old. It's the same Holy Spirit. And he just deals age appropriately with that person. And so I am so honored to have you here today. Because you are an answer to God's prayer. You are imparting his love and his truth to his crown possessions, to children. And in giving this training a couple of years ago, as I mentioned, we only had the knowledge of what the potential is, and I think this is only the momentum is only starting. And I trust and pray that God will empower you and through the training equip you to do His work, because He has a burning, unquenchable love for children. And He has entrusted, He's given you the burden, He's given you the heart. Then this is the one of the most excellent vehicles to use to impart it, because it is the truth. It is Bible-based. And it has been proven for many, many years in ministry over a long period of time to be something that that helps children to encounter the love of God and to get strong foundational biblical basis, truth in their hearts so that they can remain standing when the challenges of life come. I've spoken much longer than my 15 minutes, I think. But it's because Tony said I had half an hour. So if you have any, well the idea of what I shared with you is not so much a question and answering session. It's just that you'd know that there are adults that have been in some way not corrupted, but they have had an encounter with the world for so long that now that they have turned to Christ, everybody goes, wow, isn't that amazing? His life has changed completely. You can testify to that. It's like from out of the darkness and into the light. And one often listens to that testimony. You go, wow, this is a powerful God we serve. If you can take someone that was that dead and bring him to life, then that testimony has power. But in the time we are living in, I want you to consider, wouldn't it be an equally amazing, powerful God that reveals his love to a young child, and have that young child live, love, and honor him from that young age, preventing them, putting them under his wing, as it were, knowing that they are fully loved from a really young age until the day they die. Is it less of a miracle? Is it less miraculous that in the day that we are living in, children get to know him at a young age before they make the mistakes that the world and circumstances often bring over our path.
It's funny what you were talking about, Ehad, was exactly a focus that I wanted to hit right at the beginning. Why children? Why children rather than adults? I don't know if you know this, but when a church anywhere in the world starts running out of money and they have to cut ministries, the first ministry they cut is the children's ministry. It should be the last ministry, really. And it's like they don't really appreciate how important children are. This is biological. When children are born into the world, they have a period of the first couple of years when they're learning faster than they'll ever learn in their whole lives. And by the time they're 5 or 6 or 7, it's still very, very fast. And if you say something to a child at that age, they'll believe you. They'll follow you. They'll take it as gospel truth. That's why it's really important never to say something that's wrong or evil or bad to a young person. Because I can remember things I was told when I was that age, and some of them were good and some of them weren't so good, but I still remember them. I can't remember what I had for breakfast this morning, but I can remember those things that my dad said to me, for example. Most of them were good. So we are passionate. I should introduce Lorianne, my wife, my partner. She's my spiritual director, and she'll be talking a little bit later. My name's Tony, and we were invited by Jan, as she hinted at 2 years ago now, in joining her ministry, my father's house, to take over the reins of the kids' club that was meeting at that time in the Avian Park library. And you could, if you stood outside Avian Park when we were in there, you probably would have been able to hear them. And it's more than 50 or 60. Sometimes we had 70 or 80. And if you put 70 or 80 Afrikaans-speaking children in a room together, you cannot hear anything except them talking. And if I yell, as I used to, very loud, they'll stop talking for about half a second. So, it is the best and the most receptive age you could possibly be bringing ministry to. Or bringing anything else for that matter. That's why they learn languages. Some children, all of these four wonderful people know at least 2 languages. I know 2 languages, but one of them is a computer language, so it doesn't count. And I have no idea how they... But when you're young, you can take stuff in much more easily. Nelson Mandela said that education is the key to a better life for South Africans. Yet 21 years after democracy came, education has made no difference to people who were already past school age when democracy came to this country. And so we have township children, like our guests here, who are actually all at school and all receiving a good primary or secondary education. But their parents never got it. Their parents missed out because in 1994, they were already out of school, and they haven't learned much since then. So that is one reason I may come back to this point of why we have this kind of situation that we have at the moment in the townships here. Those parents have lost hope, many of them, and they drown their sorrows in alcohol and dacha. They also sometimes appear to condone things that should never be condoned, like drugs and alcohol and fornication by their children. It's not as if the parents will say, no, don't do that. They'll even encourage them in some cases. What an environment to grow up in. And the children are always hungry. And when I say hungry, I mean really hungry. I've never met such hungry people as we have here. And I can't tell you how many times I've been asked for 1 rand just so that a child can go and get a little basket of chips and take away that pain in their stomach. It's amazing. It's terrible. So going back to the library in Avian Park, we had some problems. Too many kids,
many very young, and they came mainly because we gave them food. Thanks to my father's house, we would spend about two-thirds of the time ministering to them in one way or another, and then we would bring out the food. And as week passed to the next week, younger and younger children started coming. And we were getting babes in arms, almost breastfeeding children coming for food, because it's the only place they could get some food. And it became unmanageable at the end. And basically, we said to Jan, look, this isn't working. What are we going to do about it? And that's when we invited the Mailbox Club, which used to be Southern Africa, and is now the Mailbox Club Africa. I noticed that subtle change. To come and tell us what we should do about this. And so one day, about 18 months ago, maybe a little longer, you and some wonderful people from the organization, Carol and Louis, came and they gave us a training course for a day. And they heard about our situation, and they then made a recommendation. They said, it's impossible to teach these children in more than groups of 10. Nobody could do it. It's nothing wrong with you can't do it. It's just totally impossible. You have to have smaller groups. So you need to split them into small groups. And then, secondly, amazingly, you don't have to feed them food. Food is not why those small groups are going to come. You can, of course, feed them food if you want to. But it's not like it was before, where the major reason those kids were coming was to get a sandwich and an orange or whatever. Just a small point here. If there were 60 children who came and we had 65 oranges and we gave out 60 and we had 5 more, never give the other 5 out. No. That'll cause a riot. Because everyone in those 60 wants one of those. So that's a little psychology when you're dealing with very hungry children. And so I just offer that. That was interesting because quite a lot of money was being spent on that food, but that's not the main objective of what we were doing. We wanted to give these children the chance to actually learn something instead of just being in a wild, loud environment and the library staff coming round every so often and saying, you are not coming here next week. This is impossible. This is a library. And the children would be quiet for about 5 minutes. So we had to think up how we're going to do this. How are we going to take the kids from this very large group and find places where they can be taught? And by then we'd learnt about this wonderful Mailbox Club materials. You know, for example, as the English and the Afrikaans version of one particular lesson. And one thing I don't speak Afrikaans, so one thing that was absolutely essential from my point of view is that the kids need to be taught in their own language. And more and more, if you listen to the radio, it's understood in the educational establishments here. There are certain things in life you can only really learn in your own birth language. You can't try and teach them in their second language or even their third language. So, here comes up the first miracle. We realized we needed to train some teenage leaders. And I can still remember standing up in that room one day and talking to about 50 and saying, we are going to be starting a new kind of ministry on Monday afternoons, and we're going to have some small groups of you, and you are going to be in somebody's house here in Avian Park. Now, who would like to come and be leaders to do this? Now, by the way, here's a little social education for you. The last way to get people you really need is to ask who wants to volunteer. You get all the worst people. Normally in the Western world, you'll get all the people who have no cars, no telephones, never use the internet, and they're the ones who want to volunteer. They can't help you in any way, but they're so bored at home, they'll volunteer for anything. So I'm a little bit careful when I invite for volunteers. But these girls were all amongst those, not Joy, she has come in more later, but the others were there on that first day. We had 8 people who said they would like to come and lead. And I thought to myself, oh dear, these 8, they're never going to do it. It's impossible. We still have those 8. Now, not all of them are active, but what a miracle that when I asked that the right people would actually come forward. Well, that's not man. That's not no skill on my part. That's the Holy Spirit at work. We call that a TKOG. That's the kindness of God. And I'm so blessed with the girls that actually came forward. I would have liked it if there'd been one or two boys. Yes. Immediately we had to face the language problem. We don't speak Afrikaans. These teenage leaders do speak Afrikaans. They're quite capable of teaching in either Afrikaans or English. And we knew that the Mailbox Club materials were available in, actually, for your information, it's the 11 most spoken languages in Africa, which does not include Xhosa or Zulu, by the way, but it does include Afrikaans. And it includes Swahili and numbers of other languages like that. So we did I say it's a compromise, it's not really a compromise. We decided we would teach these leaders using an Afrikaans teacher, and we wouldn't do it, therefore, and they would actually be taken through one of the courses designed for 14, 15, 16-year-olds. That course is called Overcomers. I think it's called Voortrekkers in Afrikaans. And so we asked a friend of ours, who we'd got to know quite well up till then, who's at YWAM. Her name is Soraya Falquin. I don't know if any of you know Soraya. If she would like to join this. Now, she had been also helping in the library, so she knew exactly what we were talking about. So for 3 months, maybe 2.5 months, every Saturday afternoon, Soraya would come to our house in Fokkerlerk and the retirement village, nice, safe, quiet place, and we would have the girls up, and she took them right through that first course. A little bit of an aside here. Somebody, and maybe one of you four, told me later that the time they really became a Christian was on the first one of those courses.
Chantal.
Was it Chantal? Yeah. I mentioned that just to show you how powerful this stuff is. And that was Soraya teaching them in Afrikaans. They followed all the stuff. Soraya's a pretty forceful teacher. She doesn't sit around and let them lord it over her at all. We were very happy with that. All we did was provided a room and some praise music and a little bit of food and so on. Now, while that was happening, while this was happening on Saturday afternoons, we continued in the library in Avian Park. We knew it was only going to be for a limited time, and therefore we were able to handle the extra stress and so on. But we were also on, I was thinking, how are we going to split these children into groups of maybe 4 or 5 clubs? And I remember on the very last day, before we were going to start the mailbox clubs, I went outside. It's always hot outside the library in Avian Park. It's one of the hottest places in the world. I know because I've played guitar out there quite a few times. And I put little pieces of paper down, group 1, 2, 3, 4, and I think 5. And as the kids came out of the library, we allocated them to each of these groups. And then I did some switching around because from a geographical point of view, we didn't want kids from one end of Avian Park walking to another end. That's dangerous for a start. They have to cross over certain lines, and they don't want to do that. So we then adjusted it so that there was a group that came from in the area of the library, another group that came from the southern end of Pelican Street, and so on. So we ended up with these potential groups that were going to be the initial mailbox clubs. And that's how we started. It might be interesting for you to hear that only 2 of the 4 groups that we really started with would their parents let them do it in their house. 2 of the parents would, they were okay with it, and the others say, no way, we're not going to have these children we've never met before into our house. But we were lucky because there were 2 other people, Danilia was one of them, 2 other people not associated with these kids said, yes, they can come and do it in our house. Thank you, those 2 people. Well, after just 2 or 3 weeks or 4 weeks, they discovered that the children were not going to wreck their houses, that they were there to learn about Jesus. And it was already working. I'll show you some photographs a little later of those initial clubs that we had. There's some of my favorite pictures of all our time here. We've been in South Africa for 2 years, and those pictures are the ones I can just look at for nice long times. And so they then moved after a while for various reasons. And Ilya, for example, sold the house and needed to go somewhere else. And so now all of these, the clubs that are running are all in the houses of the parents of the leaders here. That's not always going to be possible. There's all sorts of considerations you have to take into account. Children learn by repetition. So I know this. When I was at school, I wouldn't listen the first time because I knew they would always teach it again. And I listened the second time, and that was okay. My recommendation to these leaders was, I want you to take 2 weeks over each of these lessons. Will you do it on Monday afternoons from 3 until 4? And you can either just do half of it on the first week, just, you know, from here to here, and then the next week you go from there, or, equally good, teach the whole thing and then teach it again the next week. And that's what we've generally done since then. I think that works quite well. There's enough material here. Certainly, usually after about 40 minutes or 45 minutes, they've got through the lesson. There are other things that happen in the clubs which I'll explain. In fact, I'll explain it right now. The general format that we used in these mailbox clubs was, and it wasn't always in this order, some praise and music, and singing songs that they love, then the teaching from the book, and then some sort of prayer or learning a verse, a prayer verse or something like that. So the three main sections. That's where I came into the picture because I can play guitar and lead them in worship. So my role with these clubs was basically to go from club to club to club, make sure everything was they were sitting down and there were kids there and everything looked cool and calm, and then we'd have a few songs. Now, in case any of you are worship leaders and you think that you may not be able to do that, or if you have people who are wanting to do this but you can't play guitar, don't worry about it. You only need to have about 5 songs. They don't want any more than 5 songs. And they love singing the same songs that they've sung before. And there are certain songs, if you don't sing them, hey, I want that song. And this, by the way, is the case in the prison as well, where we also do ministry. So I have lots and lots of songs that I could have done, but I've only ever used about 20 for any of this stuff. And they just love the songs that they've heard before. And there are certain songs we've discovered in music that they must hear in the creche when the first time they come out of their homes and they go to a creche. And I'm sure those creches are all playing this same music. And then wherever we go, in different schools or different kids' clubs, I know they're going to know these songs. Now, the concept within the Mailbox Club is that you have club leaders, like these girls, then you have a mentor who looks after several clubs, and then you have above that, I'm going to take this as an opportunity to show you, these are some of the little manuals that tell you how to do all this stuff. So you've got one for team leaders and one for mentors, and then in the back of this book, for example, all the various courses that are available, things like See and Do, Storytime, Best Friends, Explorers, and Overcomers. And some of them have version that have the first part and some have a second. So there's 2 complete sessions. Above mentors comes somebody else who coordinates a whole bunch of mentors. And above that, there's somebody else, probably like Gerhard. So it's a hierarchy so that you can manage multiple mailbox clubs with a limited number of administrators. Now, I always take the opportunity, if I'm there, to also say a prayer for the children. And I've discovered that the children love being prayed for. They really do. So I'm not somebody that goes into long prayers. I like short prayers, like, Lazarus, come out! And other prayers like that. You know, I've never noticed in the Bible that they have to pray for half an hour to make a point. So that's good with children. So relatively short prayers. And sometimes if the Spirit just gets me, I'll get something in my mind that I'd like to teach them right then. And by the way, I'm not only into teaching stuff from the Bible. I want these kids to survive life in Avian Park. And I'll jump ahead a bit. We at least once a year, we've had a session with the girls, and we go into exactly what you mustn't do if you want to survive in life, and you don't want to be carrying a baby while you're still a teenager. And it's vital that they hear this stuff, because they're not being told by other people. So we do that. And anything that I think will benefit the kids in any way at all, even learning a little bit about money, they all think money is for spending. I mean, where did you get that idea from? So we try and teach them that sort of stuff as well. And, you know, just being with the kids, I think, is good for them. If somebody has shown interest, they've actually rolled up in this nice big car and they're interested to come in and sit with those children learning, that's good too. And, of course, I'm interested to see how the leaders are delivering the courses and make sure everyone seems comfortable with what they're doing. And although I told you before we don't feed them, I always bring an item of fruit. Thanks to Jan, we seem to have a supply of fruit available, or plums or oranges or apples or something like that. And they really appreciate that. If I turn up without some fruit, I'm in some trouble, but they'll forgive me. I want to just say a bit more about this, whether you should feed the children or not. I come from, in a way, a network marketing background, and when you're setting up something and showing people how to do it, it needs to be duplicable. That means somebody else needs to be able to do what you're doing. Now, if you start off in these clubs by giving them caviar sandwiches, no one is going to want to run a club because they can't get caviar sandwiches and so on. But if it's just a matter of getting a plum, yes. You get fruit that's in season, it's probably affordable. So I think there's a lot of merit in not raising their expectations that this is somewhere where they're going to get a lot of food. Now, if I decide that one of the kids is starving, they'll deal with that separately. But it's a question of what you give to everybody that matters. Most of all, I don't want the provision of food to be the reason that the children come along. Now, we did have a rule in the early clubs that we're not going to have anyone under 8 years old. And there's a real reason for that, is because we want the kids to understand the lessons. We don't want to have a four-year-old who has no idea what's being taught being in there and maybe taking up space. We've relaxed that a little bit. If Jamelia is running a club and she has three younger brothers and sisters, of course I'm not going to exclude those from being in her club. I think it's wonderful that she is teaching her young siblings. And it actually hasn't proved any kind of a problem. It's been good. So I've never told somebody, you're too young, you can't come and join this club. Your children came to faith at 5.
Yeah.
So why should we not expect something similar? I want to say a word about the parents of, not specific parents, but parents of young children in the Avian Park environment. This is miracle number 2 for me. These girls are salt-of-the-earth girls. I love these girls. They can be extremely well-behaved, polite, and always friendly. I can't understand, in the case of some of them, how they manage to get like that, having seen the houses that they live in, seeing the poverty. And I would expect children brought up in those kind of environments and with the violence that's never far away to grow up almost wild. Now, you tell me why they haven't grown up wild. As far as I'm concerned, it's the Heavenly Father's parenting school. If you don't know this, you should. Parenting is probably one of the most important and least taught skills in the world, next to financial management, or personal financial management. And most people's idea of parenting is to do the exact opposite of what their parents did. You know, if your parents did this, well, no way am I going to do it that way. I'm talking in general terms. There are obvious exceptions. I have met people who grew up in a wonderful household. It's not normally the case here in Avian Park. And yet we have young ladies and young gentlemen who I'm really, really proud to know. Now, they're still hungry most of the time. And there are times when they're a lot more hungry than other times. imagine, for example, that suddenly somebody rips all the money out of your bank account. You know how to stop that. If somebody comes and says, can I help you operate that ATM machine? Yeah. Well, always say no. So people, I've noticed, don't really understand the consequences for anything. But I'm talking about a real situation where someone completely drained someone's bank account. How on earth were they going to survive? They had nothing. And that's when they need special help. Now, there are lots and lots of food soup kitchens in Avian Park. But I'm going to tell you now, none of those soup kitchens are set up for emergency situations. They're all set up for a regular group of people, adults or children, who go to the soup kitchen every time that it's open and they get their food. And if you were to inquire, this family desperately needs help, please can you feed them? Nope. You can't even find out where the soup kitchens are. So they grow up, people get to hear about them, and then they're just for that group. So finding emergency food for people when they desperately need it is tricky. Why am I talking about this? Why aren't I talking about running mailbox clubs? Because if you run a mailbox club as a mentor or anybody else associated with it, you will find these kind of situations. They are real. And you cannot just walk away from them. That's quite wrong. You can't just leave them there. So what we try and do is help wherever we can. Basically, what would Jesus do in that circumstance? Would he say, oh no, you're not going to give money to them. They've probably smoked all their money, and why should we give them any more money? I don't think Jesus would say that. So it's actually a fascinating part of this kind of a life. As we get to know the kids and we get to know even some of the children in the groups, occasionally some of them will have really serious situations. And I'm thinking of one particular one right now. So don't expect that not to happen. I think at that point, it's now 4:05, and my thing is meant to go on for another 10 minutes. But let's have some questions, and I might even show you some photographs if there aren't any questions. Anyone like to ask anything about what I've said so far? I have another session a little later. I call this wonderful man, and he provides them. The booklets from the Mailbox Club are free. That's an original. These I've made photocopies at Rodlin's, only because I'm lazy. It's quicker for me to go and make photocopies sometimes. But Mailbox Club will provide all the material you want. But they have one rule. Their rule is, if we're providing you with materials, we would like you to send back the statistics from your mailbox clubs. Now, here's my last report for 2019. So for those of you who can't read at that distance, how many students enrolled in your mailbox clubs in 2019? And I'll give you the actual figures that I reported on. 45. How many mailbox club lessons in total did you distribute in 2019? 400. How many students enrolled in their second or follow-up course in 2019? 20. By the way, when you hear it's a round number like 20, you also know it's probably a guess, but my guess is probably as good as anybody's. How many students indicated they were saved through the lessons in 2019? And I put down 10. And I'll hold that thought for a second. A few months ago, we have an internet radio station, and I decided that on that particular night we were going to focus on the leaders and also some of the children. So I took this very recorder and I interviewed them. I think both Jamelia and Bella were interviewed. And I asked, I don't remember if I asked them on air, but I did ask them, when the children come in to your mailbox club for the first time, how much do they know about Jesus? And the answer was nothing. Now, we're talking 8, 9, 10 year olds. They never heard of Jesus. Which is a little strange, because most people in South Africa have heard of Jesus. And when they've attended a club for 2 or 3 months, then would you say that they are followers of Jesus? Would you? If I say, are they born again, they don't really understand what I'm talking about at this stage. But the answer is basically yes. A fair number of those kids, for them now, Christianity is real. It's not something like some lesson at school, like history, that they don't really put their heart and soul into. It's become part of their lives. Do they keep rolling up each week for the club? You bet they do. It's Monday afternoon. Remember, nobody has a phone. Even if they had phones, they don't have airtime. So you can't make changes in the schedule. You do a club at 3 o'clock every Monday, and it's always 3 o'clock every Monday. You don't play around with that. With the slight exception at holiday times, when we actually take a break sometimes and we go and visit somewhere like Namibia, whatever. And here's another little miracle that happened. Last time we did that, we said to the leaders, here are some materials. If you want to keep on running your clubs while we are not going to be here, you can do it. Here's enough material to take you through the next 4 or 5 weeks. 3 of them did that. 2 of them in this room did that. What does that tell you? It tells you that they actually get fun from doing this, from running the clubs. They're not doing it because out of duty. They're doing it because they get a buzz out of it. They enjoy it. They realize that it's vital stuff. And so when they say to me that, well, you know, most of the children after 3 months are now following Jesus. Of course, we sing a song every time. It's called, I have decided to follow Jesus. They love that song. And they all dance to it. But that's the way we get them thinking about following Jesus. So that's pretty powerful. How many children completed your discipleship program in 2019? 25. How many volunteer teachers assisted in your discipleship program in 2019? 8. How many volunteer teachers are 16 years and younger in your program? 8. How many churches and schools were involved in the discipleship program? 2. What course did you use? Storytime 1 and Storytime 2. Sign here. So if you fill in this is not a big, particularly an onerous task. It's really important. We do this courtesy of the Mailbox Club, and I think it's vital that we do feed them the statistics, because they add those figures to everybody across Africa. When we first arrived in this area, I already had a desire, a wish, to get into Avian Park. And I remember driving through it once. We didn't stop anywhere. We thought we would be shot if we stopped. But the first person I actually was able to sit and talk and actually go in his house is this gentleman here, Marco. And we've been friends ever since. He's somebody who's come through some very tough times in life, but he has triumphed over them. Mm-hmm. And now he's a man of the Lord, and he's an ideal person to guide young people. And he was doing mailbox clubs here long before we even arrived in South Africa. So he has the experience. Lorianne and I are going to be leaving in 2 months, and Marco is going to be one of the people that will be doing the kind of stuff we're doing. So I'm very happy and pleased to have him talk to you about, in his view, does this training, does these mailbox sub-training, how relevant is it to the kids that are all over Avian Park all the time?
Thank you, Tony. Hello, everybody. Like Tony introduced, my name is Marco. And, I will talk about the value of the teachings. And please bear with me, because my English is not so good, but I will try my best. Those teachings is really a big benefit for the children, not just in Avian Park, but I believe it will expand it. It will be a benefit everywhere in Worcester. And just to give a little background of where I'm coming from, just a small, so that you guys can understand where I'm heading with this. When I was 13, we started this game. So I was basically still a kid. So we did crazy stuff. So my target point for making people part of a game was 12, 13 years old. And that's why the kind of boy that Tony showed you a couple of minutes ago. So they are actually ready to join a certain gang, basically. So that is the reason why I targeted those children to be part of this game. But as I grew older and I came to believe in Jesus Christ, something changed inside of me. And the Lord showed me once something in Avian Park, Main Road, about a bunch of people, children and grown-ups. And while I was standing on the corner praising the Lord, he actually showed me his children and his love for his children, and that I have a part in them, how their lives have changed. So it is my privilege, if I can say it like this, to be part of a change in Avian Park. So the reason why I told you this is because those are the age group of children that the Mailbox Club were introduced to. And a couple of years ago when I started with the first Mailbox Clubs, me and my wife, it was a big book. And it was basically the whole Bible from the beginning till the end, but on the op die vlak van 'n kind. Sien, and it was great. It is a simple way of teaching the gospel to the children. But like Tony said before, and this was something that I really wanted to say, teaching a bunch of children out of something like this, lot of children, is not going to work. So when Tony and Lorraine changed the whole subject of small groups, I see the impact that it has in Avian Park. So gangsters are big, especially in Avian Park. And children, for the last 3 years, if I can remember, is mostly children that died in Avian Park. Mostly children. And I believe from what I see in Avian Park, it is still just girls doing it. But I believe that the boys will also come into this. So it is a great change in Avian Park to see how teenagers is teaching children. Not much younger than them, but I have the privilege to be at a few of those mailbox clubs Mondays with Tony and see the impact that it have in the children. And as a child, I didn't have this much experience with people like yourself, with a love for children, with a children's ministry, if you can say it like this. I didn't have the privilege to meet up with people like this. But nowadays, I can see a lot of people really have the love for children and is doing their uttermost best to introduce Jesus Christ to the children. And it is the truth that most parents don't actually talk to their children about Jesus. I don't know, but Romans 1 declared that I'm not ashamed of this gospel. But many parents don't really know either about Jesus, so they can't talk to their children about Jesus. So I really salute you guys for what you are doing or trying to do in our communities for the children. But like I said, the value that this thing has in our community is great. Because you can see our children worship. You can see our children talks about the Lord, and you can see the love, especially from the bigger children that they have for the Lord. So I have the privilege to walk with these girls, or most of these girls, and to spend various time with these girls, and I could have seen the change in their lives, and the change that they are bringing in our community. So for me, that is a great thing to experience with these girls, you see. And these girls, not only them, but boys also. So me and Zen have a chat yesterday, and I explained to her a few things of what I'm seeing in these girls and how great it is for these girls to do the small groups. But then again, there are something that I believe they need also. You see, they need also because they are giving, but what are they receiving? You see, so I believe, excuse me, like I said, my English is not so good. But soos ek voorheen gesê het, nee, is 'n groot benefit vir ons gemeenskap, nee. Van as jy moet kyk in ons gemeenskap, as jy net die ry in ons gemeenskap, jy sal nie meer groterige mannetjies sien op ons hoeke sit nie. As kinders wat nou behoort in die skool te wees. Dis meisies wat behoort in die skool te wees wat swanger is. Dit is jong kinders wat in drugs en in dwelms en in goed beval is. Jong kinders, 13, 14, 15, wat nie meer by skool loop nie. En ek dink, hierdie mailboks klap, because you are getting various kinds of teachings out of this mailboks club. Yeah, it can bring a big change in our community. It already is, and I believe it can still go further. You see, but from my experience, I saw the transformation through this mailboks club. Yeah, and I saw little children praying while they are in this clubs, Mondays, they are praying. And this is not things that you normally see. Because from a small age, the kids in our community, they are trained automatically from what they are seeing in our community is to act like gangsters and to talk like gangsters and to do certain stuff like gangsters are doing. You see, so actually there are no godly role models for our children. And it is nice as young kids taking over and being a role model in our community for younger children. You see, and this is one thing that I said to many of the guys back in Avian Park or where I go is that a couple of years ago, many years ago, it's like I trained you in a certain way that I was trained. But now I found that the truth. Because of this truth, I can show you now there's another way. And I don't really have to teach you, but I can show you there's another way. And this is the love that I have for these children because the way their lives has changed through this mailboks club. Yeah, they walk with this teaching and with Jesus is showing others their age that there is another way. This is not the way, the only way, but there is another way. And this is the benefit that this material has brought to Avian Park. And I lived in Avian Park for many years, but a couple of months ago I just moved around the corner to a new community with the same problems. So I told Zen, maybe this is something from the Lord to explain certain things. I don't know. I still trust that the Lord will show me why he moved me that side. But I truly believe this, the mailbox club can change many things. Because the what I saw in there is, like Tony said, there's a hunger. Maybe it is hunger for food. But this is what I picked up also over the years. There's a hunger for Jesus. But many of them don't know how to come. Many of them don't know the questions to ask, and many of them don't have people to show them. So these girls, I come a long way with these girls, just like Tony, and these girls have shown many girls and boys in our community the way to walk. So I believe the mailbox club training is a great way to introduce Jesus Christ to our communities, and it is a great benefit for our community. And I believe, like the scripture says, laat die kindertjies na my toe kom en verhinder hulle nie. So there are many obstacles for the children in Avian Park. And one of them are close relatives, mothers, fathers, aunties, uncles in their homes. You see, and the circumstances are part of the obstacles. So it also trains you how to overcome certain obstacles in your life. But you can only do this through the love of Jesus Christ. And for me, knowing these children from smaller and seeing how their lives have changed through this mailbox club, it is amazing. So I can truly recommend this mailbox club in all the communities where we all lived. And one thing that I wanted to say is, like I mentioned it earlier, there are no actually godly role models in our community. The only role models that we looked up to, it is to gangsters, to people with wealth and people with money, but who don't show the love of Jesus. You see, so showing them the love of Jesus was the best experience that I have since I was born. You see, so the Mailbox Club is a great way of introducing Jesus Christ to our communities, because Avian Park is not, it is changing, but in a small way. Yeah? If Anna stop for stop, biki for biki, fun, like they said, the Rome isn't built in one day. You see, so there's a lot of work to do still in Avian Park. And the love that I have for two kinds of people is for children. Yeah, is to asomte for wood, dat hulle in bendes gaan, of met bendes betrokken raak, en die ander ene selfs vir bendes, so dat hulle kan uitkom, uit die bendes uit. So, I believe with children, because this is what I did in the past with the children, is evangelizing with them. Take them out to Churchplein, into Durban Street, and but it all was through the Mailbox Club, teaching them the ways of Jesus. And it is amazing for adult, I believe, for adult to hear from a child's point of view that Jesus loves you. And it's amazing for adult to hear from a child, can I please pray for you? And this is the way that we taught them in Avian Park. And it doesn't get stuck at all of them. It is why you see it's only a couple of girls here. But there's a lot of girls, and I believe through these girls teaching this Mailbox Club in Avian Park, a lot of changes can come. You see, because for me as an adult, sitting in front of children and teaching them, maybe I don't have that to come on the level of the child. But as a child teaching a child, she will know or he will know how to eventually be on the level of the child. You see, and that is for me the amazing part of this Mailbox Club, especially when it is children teaching younger children. You see, so I really believe this is a real benefit for our communities. Thank you.
So we have to back up to the time when we asked those eight girls to come and be trained. So we had Saraya teaching in Afrikaans. Tony and I came alongside in English in our home. And they came from mid-May 2018 until the end of September. And then we were to start the Mailbox Clubs in Avian Park in October 2018. And during that time, it kind of dawned on us, these girls are going to need more than sandwiches and juice. They're going to need to spend time and receive love and instruction and be there for questions and so on, for follow-up. Because it shouldn't all just be them giving and giving. They need to receive as well. Now, of course, they're receiving, for those who are going to church, they're receiving in church. They should be receiving directly from reading their scripture and from Holy Spirit. But they needed to have an aunt and uncle or spiritual parents to come alongside them and to love them and to teach them, to show them how to feed from Scripture for themselves, and to bless them. And in fact, they're at an age where they need the father's blessing. And in Tony's case, he's not their father, but he is blessing them to come into their destinies as wonderful ladies in Jesus. And they can be blessed to go into that destiny. So we thought, okay, so it looks like we are going to be not just doing these other days, but we're going to keep with the girls on Saturday afternoons. So then we brought in other teaching, and I'm an artist. So I would have Holy Spirit art days. And so you saw pictures of us around the dining room table. It's very much like Jan's. And so we would all gather around, and we would play soft worship music, and we would ask for Holy Spirit to just calm our hearts and for us to just receive a little picture of what he wanted to teach us. And many times, all of us would get something very, very similar. Like Chantal would draw this drawing of a girl giving her heart to Jesus, and she'd have like hearts and stars and so on, and she'd draw hearts. And then the same day, I drew Jesus on his on a chair, and a girl kneeling before him, and he was holding a heart, and the heart was full of love for the person who was on their knees. And then Bella was drawing something to do with hearts, and the same with Jim Elliot. So it was just like the same thing over and over and over again. And this kept happening over and over. So Holy Spirit was retraining their eyes of their hearts to be able to hear him and to see him more clearly. So they would have not only the teaching to translate this on Mondays, they could sense the love of the Father filling them for the children. And they would be able to be taught by Holy Spirit to give that to them, because they would see this modeled through us and also through Jan and Marco, and they would be able to express this to the children. And when we've spoken, especially to Bella, but also to Jamelia and Chantel about this, and they just love being with the children and being like big sisters. So we found like this was a whole chain reaction. But we felt that it was very, very important to keep instilling in these girls, not only as leaders, but as girls growing in their faith as well. And they needed to continue to do this. Tony, anything you want to add on this?
Well, how about all the photographs they've taken during Saturday afternoons?
Yes, it isn't all work, because the girls don't have always access to internet elsewhere. There is a time when they come in, they're usually hugging and kissing me, and then we have sandwiches and juice, and then they might play on their phones for a little bit, or sometimes it would be my phone or a phone that we'd have set aside, and they would love to take pictures. So we had a few of those. And then we would have worship. So we would have about 20 minutes of worship. And then we would get to Mailbox Club admin. So Tony would do some follow-up to see how their clubs were being run, to see what they needed for the next books or so on. So it was all admin. And then we would spend some time in teaching. Sometimes we would have this little, not game, so to speak, but basically an exercise where we would say something nice to the next person about them. It was an exercise in encouraging each other. So they would be encouraging each other or praying for each other. So there was a lot of interaction about that. And then we'd go back to teaching, and then we would have some more food. And then Tony would take them home. And sometimes they would dance. So it would be a mix of fun and laughter and teaching and relationship. And then other times we've taken them on some outings. After they finished their initial training, we took them up to the Karoo Botanical Gardens and great place for selfies, as we discovered. And every place is good for selfies for them. But this was particularly beautiful. And sometimes Tony would take them up to the Lonely Tree, which is up on one of the foothills, a wonderful place to pray, to pray over Worcester. And we started taking some of the girls off to Hillsong in Somerset West as well, and to Strand Beach. And so any other places we've taken them?
To church in town, too.
Yes, yes. We've also taken them to Worcester Christian Church. And I think Chantel and Antonika have been with me in Kinderkirk, where I've led a couple of children's days on art as well. But they've always been there. Oh, and we've also had some baking days. Just something to for us to come around and make some brownies and watch some movies, some Christian movies. And what else did we do? I think that's it now. So basically, we take Saturdays as a time of that's intentional time to spend with the girls. And we found it. We found it's gained a lot of fruit with our relationship with the girls, and we actually spend more time with them than Saturdays. But this is intentional time for discipleship.
Something very interesting happened a couple of weeks ago. As I mentioned, we run prison ministry, and we use the Alpha Course in the prison. Anybody know the Alpha Course? Have you heard of it? Okay. And that morning, I had run a video called Who is the Holy Spirit? And that afternoon, for some reason, I put it on for the girls. You remember this. So when you'd watched this video, what did you say to me?
I want to be part of the Alpha Course.
No, go back. You said that to me yesterday.
Oh.
But when you first saw that video, what did you say? There was something very interesting.
It's amazing.
You asked, could you see it again right then?
Yes.
She watched it twice, right off. And the others watched it as well. Now, I'm not saying this just to try and sell the Alpha Course. I'm showing you that this young lady recognized in that picture of the Holy Spirit, which I think is the best picture you're ever going to find of what the Holy Spirit is like. And all she wanted was to see it again. And then the next week, we watched the next one. And we're going to keep on doing this. So we're going to work through some of the Alpha Course with them. In fact, Bella, what's your impression of the Alpha Course from what you've seen or those videos? Do you think it's the kind of thing that other teenage girls would like to watch?
Yes. It's amazing. And the first time I watched it, I felt like I also want the Holy Spirit to come into my life.
Now, you have been a club leader for quite a while now, more than a year. What do you like best about the Mailbox Club when you're actually there on a Monday afternoon? Do you enjoy it, first of all? Do you enjoy doing it?
Yes.
Why do you enjoy it? What do you enjoy most?
Because seeing the children every week, and I love the children, and teaching them, it makes me happy. And
do the children like to come back the next week?
Yes.
What do you like best, teaching the boys or the girls?
The boys.
I've told Bella that teaching the boys is really important, because this is something that they can use against pressure from gang leaders. And it's really nice. These boys are really nice boys at this age. Two more years' time without this, what do you think would happen to those boys if they hadn't ever come to this?
To join gang.
They would. Do you enjoy coming up on Saturday afternoons for the ministry time?
Yes.
What do you like about that?
The sessions we have at the table about singing songs, and the Holy Spirit comes, and then we draw pictures. I like that.
You've learned about prophetic art, haven't you? Drawing art from getting like a word of knowledge from the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
You've experienced that. I've got to know Bella quite well over these 2 years, and she's a wonderful young lady, and she has already made a difference in many people's lives in Avon Park. Bless you. Yeah, one thing that Laurianne's just reminded me that we did with some of the girls is I go to the hospice each week and pray with the patients, and I took some of them on 2 or 3 occasions. And it was wonderful to see them and the patients. It was like something really good happened in their lives to have a teenage girl come along and want to pray for them. That was excellent. It was wonderful. Actually, I interviewed the manager of Boland Hospice yesterday, and that program is going out tonight at 9 o'clock tonight. So if you want to know what goes on at the Boland Hospice, check out CWCP Radio tonight. What I want to cover off for this last section, I don't know how long it's going to take. We may finish early or so on, but we certainly will finish probably way before 6 o'clock, is this. We're having this session today because we need your help. We need the help of people who are sitting in this room now, and we need the help of people who may listen to this on podcast later. We need your help because what has happened so far in the mailbox clubs here in Avian Park is just the start, I believe. It's just the beginning of something that has a tremendous potential. I know that the Mailbox Club Africa staff have seen this from the beginning. They have always seen this as something that can grow and grow and grow. It's got the DNA to replicate itself. And they see all the figures from the whole of Africa mailbox clubs, and they see what happens in different communities. And they believe that what we're doing here will spread. Initially in our townships, it's only in Avian Park so far, but there's no reason why it can't break into Rudeville or Riverview or any of the other township or Zwelltemba. But that's, again, only the start. There are actually in Worcester, where, by the way, in case you don't know, we have 400 churches and I think it's 40 schools. You'd be amazed. In Avian Park itself, there are 40 churches. Only 4 of them have church buildings, but there's plenty of church activity. And so those are all opportunities for a different kind of Sunday school, a way in which children can be engaged. Now, as you probably know, in most churches, when the children come in, what they really want to do is to run outside and start running around the cars and in the parking lot and what have you. But this is something that we've seen actually engages young children, sometimes actually as young as 6 or 7. No problem at all. So I would like to imagine that the mailbox club idea, working with children, particularly children teachers, has huge potential. But the only way it's going to happen is if people tell people about it, as if they hear about it, because certainly not so long ago, we'd never heard of the mailbox club. It's been running for 60 years. I'd never heard of it. So if you're listening to this live or later, and you know of a potential for this kind of new kind of children's ministry, then please, please get in touch. Let us know. Let my father's house know. Let Jan know, because long after we've left South Africa, this ministry will be continuing. And I would love to imagine that there will be clubs sprouting up. Now, how did we hear about Joy? Joy is keen on start. Don't worry, I'm not going to call you up. She told her friend Bella. She said, in fact, I probably, Bella said to Joy, why don't you come along to my club or something like that, whatever it was. And now Joy, I haven't pushed her. I haven't said, hey, let me come and twist your arm and make you into a club leader. Not at all. She wants to be a mailbox club leader. Here's something that is something extra that these girls have done so well. And without it, it doesn't work. They have actually found their own children for their clubs.
Do you remember when I said that I allocated the kids from the library and we started off with those groups? But various things changed. Some kids moved to different places and so on. And so for the last 9 months, the children that have come along to these clubs have been invited by these girls. So that's an extra ingredient, and they do it naturally. They know the children in their own streets, and therefore it's easy for them to say, come along to the mailbox club on Monday afternoon. And then those, not everybody will stay, but some of them will stay. So that's something that I find very gratifying, that they're able to actually invite themselves. I want to talk therefore about some of the fruit of the mailbox club. Are the children ready to learn? I don't know how many of you are teachers in schools in this part of the world, but you'll be forgiven in the regular school, primary schools, if you thought that the children are not the slightest bit interested in wanting to learn anything. And we know stories of teachers who have found it very, very difficult. Teaching in school is not everybody's favorite profession. That is not the case here. This is not the case with the kids we're talking about. These children don't talk while they're being taught. They listen. They're actually hanging on every word of their teacher. They want to know. That in itself is very surprising. And just to repeat something I said earlier, they're at an age when they hear something, they accept it. And at that stage, Satan hasn't got into this battle. He will later, unfortunately. But at this stage, with these kids, he hasn't noticed what's going on yet. So the kids are ready to learn, and those kids will tell their friends about it. And I think you'll find that most of the children in that end of Pelican Street know that there's a thing called the Mailbox Club that goes on Monday afternoons. If only because they see my car driving down the street and they yell my name and so on. So the word gets out. Do they enjoy various parts of it? But just for a moment, do they enjoy the singing? They love the singing. When I walk in with my guitar or something, shall we have some songs? Yes, yes, let's have some songs. And they learn very quickly. I can teach them something that maybe they don't know too well. Next week they're familiar with it and they'll sing along. So that's one ingredient that even if you're not any kind of a Bible teacher or even a trained teacher of any way, if you've got some musical skills, that's a very important part of the way we're running the Mailbox Club. And you can learn a lot from the words of songs. I often will sing a few lines of a song to them, and they're singing, and I'll stop and say, do you know what you just sang? Do you understand what you just sang about? This is what that meant. And so they learn from music as well as from other sources. I would say that quite a lot of these kids who are now members of Mailbox Clubs, before they ever got in the club, what did their lives consist of? Well, just getting through the day, probably sitting on the corner, on the side of the road, watching the world go by, and some of them do that until 9 or 10 o'clock at night, if you've ever been through Avian Park on a late night. Now they have something in their lives which once a week they can come and join the group, and they're building up friendships with one another. They have something to bring hope to them. They're learning about something else other than what they believe is the total sphere of life at that age. It's something. It's a new spiritual realm, and they like what they're hearing. Now, you might say to me, why don't you teach them? And again, I'm being deliberately repetitive here. If I were to give Bible study or Mailbox Club study, and if I could speak Afrikaans, they wouldn't listen to me. I'm a real old person. I'm way out of their generation. But they can relate to these girls. They're just like them. They have the same background. And by the way, I live in some nice house somewhere in Worcester, and so on. So why would they listen to me? But they're listening to people who know exactly the nature of their lives and the way in which the bad things as well as the good things about their lives. They have credibility that I would never have as a teacher. It doesn't mean to say that they don't want me around. They like me coming and adding something. But the key people are these girls in this relationship. I want to just run over a couple of things I would call challenges or problems that we've seen. Several of the eight original leaders are no longer involved. They might possibly come back, and we'd welcome them back. It's like the prodigal son. But for whatever reason, the kind of reason that I've noticed is they got a boyfriend and now they're spending all their spare hours with the boyfriend. I'm not against boyfriends, but up to a limit. So the boyfriend will take over the role that Jesus was previously taking over in their life. And sadly, their parents won't necessarily offset that. And I have to say that the reason that the ones that are still doing it, the reason Jamelia is still doing it and Bella is still doing it, is a three-letter word called fun, F-U-N. I'm someone who believes that things only get done if they're fun. They may get done for a short time if they're kind of like boring and stressful, but unless they're fun, they won't continue. And that's something else about the Mailbox Club. It's fun for them to do. And there are things that actually make them laugh. By the way, if you want more on this subject, Laurie Ann's talk tonight on CWCP Radio is the role of laughter and positivity in the Holy Spirit's message to us. Some of our leaders are even hungrier, physically hungrier for food at times, than the children in their groups. Having watched the kids of quite young ages, the ones between the ages of about 5 and 7 or 8 seem not to look as hungry, in my view, as some of the older ones, some of the ones around 10. It's almost like the parents favor the younger ones. They know they have no other source. But once you get to a certain age, they have to go out foraging for food, which means begging to some extent, and finding somebody who may be able to help them. So I've said this several times already, but physical hunger is the scourge of Avian Park and probably other townships here. And it would be wonderful to imagine a world where that wasn't happening. Those are a few problems. Now some joys, and I'm almost at the end. Things that have given me particular joy in doing this is the faces of the children when they're sitting in the clubs and I see them watching and listening and laughing. There's laughter and joy in those. I love that. Singing praise songs with them. I love leading them in music and just watching them enjoying, and usually they'll dance with the music, or we do songs where they have actions or they jump or whatever. So that's a joy. And the third thing I'm going to mention was when John Eager, the son of the founder of the Mailbox Club, came to Avian Park last July. That was really good. It was terrific. It was absolutely not what I was expecting, but I just like to think that maybe the word had filtered through. And he just wanted to see what was really going on. Nice man he was. He's only 25, by the way. But I guess he has the ear of his father. I remember him saying that in Antonika's group. He said, that lesson that you are learning now, I remember when I learned that 10 years ago, that same lesson. This stuff doesn't go out of date, by the way. None of it is dated. It's because it was originally envisaged in the 60s. Don't imagine for one second it's out of date stuff. This is classic stuff. It doesn't go out of date. All right. I think I've more or less finished what I wanted to say. I'd just like to thank all of you in this room for giving us this opportunity. We have a complete recording, as you saw, of everything that happened this afternoon. And I'll be posting it. And if you go to the Mailbox Club Facebook page, I'm sure that we'll stick a link up there. Don't be shy to send that link to people locally or anywhere else if you want to know what the Mailbox Club is about. That way we can get some social media action. And nothing would be more wonderful than getting a message from someone in China saying, "Ooh, what's that thing I just read?" It's a world that's well connected these days. So thank you all very much. Let me say a brief prayer of thanks, because I had no idea how this afternoon was going to turn out, and I'm quite pleased with the way it has been. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for being our special leader, our visionary, the one that has taken us through a number of challenges and brought us to where we are now in this Mailbox Club journey. And we ask that you, in your power and your love, will help to spread the word from what we have experienced here in Worcester, in Avian Park, so that somebody in other parts may say, "That's something I could do. That's something that I could do." Because, frankly, it's not difficult, is it, Jesus? As long as we love you and we want to build your kingdom, then this is such a good way of doing it. We thank you for everything, Lord. We thank you for Jan's leadership. If it weren't for her, we certainly wouldn't be here today, and we'd probably never heard of the Mailbox Club. So we thank you, Lord, for introducing us to Jan 2 years ago. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you very much.
Koppel's Western Cape Radio, CWCP, broadcasting from Worcester, South Africa.
You have been tuned to CWCP Radio. The next program in this series will be in a week at the same time. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you. CWCP Radio is now in sleep mode.